inversion, polar reversals, the flood, and the lost 10 tribes. Disclaimer, I put a disclaimer at the beginning of every article. This disclaimer is going to be a bit different, as this article is more speculative than my usual offering. Though I use true principles and scriptures to discuss these speculations, the point of this article is less instructive or predictive and more stimulative. That said, this article is the opinion of the author and is not necessarily reflective of doctrine of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The Upside Down is a title meant to reflect the season of Halloween and may or may not be a nod to a popular Netflix series. Introduction: when it comes to the last days, it is only human to focus on the questions what and when, rather than why. The apostles themselves displayed this natural tendency. Matthew 24:3 Pilcro and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? When? And what? They asked. We tend to focus on these questions today, and understandably so, as the answers affect us tremendously temporally. As I have studied the levels of mankind, I have uncovered so many answers to the why questions. Why was Israel so terrible at keeping the lesser law of Moses? That answer is explored in the first four levels of mankind. Why are there two promised lands? That answer is explored in levels, numbers, orders, and symbols. Why are there so many prophecies of the Davidic servant all throughout the standard works and even in the words of Joseph Smith? That answer is explored in 9:23, For unto us a child is born. As I have learned more of the why behind the dispensations and the order of souls and the levels of mankind, I have uncovered even more symbols and unlocked deeper understanding of sacred symbols. An important sacred symbol that is extremely relevant to this article is that of the rainbow. The rainbow symbolizes the seven levels of mankind and the eighth level of divinity. In my article, The Levels of Mankind and the Rainbow, I explore an important principle of inversion. The rainbow symbolizes how the holiest and most powerful beings on earth must descend lower to achieve a higher exaltation. The escalators on earth and in heaven are inverted, so to say. Jesus Christ descended below us all, and the holiest prophets each provide the ultimate example of overcoming of those trials and laws that are assigned to their respective levels. The Lord taught this principle to his disciples. John 13:13, Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. 14 If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. 15 For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. 16 Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. 17 If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. This principle of inversion, where ascent and descent are inverted, may help in unlocking understanding for key end times prophecies. This article will be a little more fun and will even reference conspiracy theories and hollow earth theory, so put on your tinfoil hats, grab some popcorn, and enjoy. Part I, The Doctrine of Inversion. In the article Levels, Numbers, Orders, and Symbols, I discuss the symbolism between the two Jerusalems and the dispensations that take place around each of them. In the article The Levels of Mankind and the Rainbow, I discuss the symbolism of the double rainbow, where the higher rainbow is a symbol of the inverse order of ascent and descent between heaven and earth. What if these two great symbols are related? The flood and the rainbow are the bridge between the higher order dispensations and the lower order dispensations, and a bridge between both promised lands when considering Noah himself may have started in one and ended in the other. He certainly was linked to the dispensations that began in the Americas, 7:6:5, and the dispensations of the Holy Land, 4:3:2. This last dispensation may start in the Americas and end in the Holy Land when the Lord Himself stands upon the Mount of Olives, but I am getting ahead of myself. Understanding these symbols are keys to unlock the understanding not only the why behind the prophecies of the end times, but also the what, where, and how. So, let's look at inversion and see if this heavenly principle may be a key to unlocking several end times prophecies. What, when, where can normally help us understand why things happen or happened. So starting with the why is almost a backwards way to understanding the other important questions, which is irrelevant given the article's title. Directions are an important symbol in the scriptures. East is often a direction associated with the Lord due to several prophecies. East is where the sun rises, symbolizing the rising of the Son of God from the grave. The Garden of Eden is placed eastward. So, in considering the directions together with the principle of inversion, let's explore the possibilities of an inversion of directions, an inversion of north and south, and even an inversion of east and west. What might this help explain? More importantly, why would the directions be inverted? The why is actually quite simple. We are in a telestosphere. We are in the upside down right now. Sin covers the earth. Romans 8:22-4 We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. The creation travails in pain because of the telestial nature of the world. But isn't this the plan? Alma 45:16 And he said, Thus saith the Lord God, Cursed shall be the land, yea, this land, unto every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, unto destruction, which do wickedly, when they are fully ripe. And as I have said, so shall it be, for this is the cursing and the blessing of God upon the land, for the Lord cannot look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. At the millennium, anything that cannot abide a terrestrial law will be wiped from the earth. But again, this is all according to the plan, right? Right. So the earth was designed to have a telestial period. What symbols might be in play to illustrate how the earth is in a period of turmoil, a period of sin? A period of backwards existence. What if the directions right now are backwards? Let's start by taking a look at north and south. Part 2: North is south. Let's start with what and work our way to why. What is a polar reversal? From Wikipedia. A geomagnetic reversal is a change in a planet's magnetic field such that the positions of magnetic north and magnetic south are interchanged, while geographic north and geographic south remain the same. Scientists say we are long overdue for a polar reversal. NASA says polar reversals happen every 200,000 to 300,000 years, and the last polar reversal happened 780,000 years ago. Geologists have been reporting a weakening in Earth's magnetic field for years, and this is a sign of an impending reversal. This article says the reversal could happen in our lifetime, and that the weakening magnetic fields are accelerating 10 times faster than scientists previously thought. Could they be wrong now? Could it happen even earlier? With all the activities surrounding 9/23 recently, I've taken a closer interest in these signs and how the sun affects events on Earth. The sun, and the activity from the sun, solar flares, CMEs, solar winds, etc., affect our geomagnetic field tremendously. The geomagnetic field helps protect the Earth from these solar activities, from charged particles, and from radiation. Scientists can only speculate as to what would happen to us during a reversal. Depending on how weak the Earth's field would become during a reversal, it's possible that a massive CME during a polar reversal could have devastating effects. Here is an article that indicates we will be less protected from the sun during a magnetic reversal. During a reversal, the magnetic field won't be zero, but will assume a weaker and more complex form. It may fall to 10% of the present-day strength and have magnetic poles at the equator or even the simultaneous existence of multiple north and south magnetic poles. If the above is true, then we will have much less protection from the sun, and there could be multiple north and south poles. Could this weakened shield symbolize God's judgments as the Earth's shield comes down and the deadly rays from the sun affect mankind? Could the multiple poles symbolize the chaos that precedes the second coming before the Lord sets the world in order? Are we approaching a reversal as we approach the second coming? Are there scriptures to support this? And most importantly, if we are approaching a polar reversal, why are we approaching a reversal? Before we explore the why, let's look at what else a polar reversal may help explain. Part 3: The North Countries. Many of you may already be aware of the story of Admiral Byrd and the Hollow Earth theory. In short, Admiral Byrd was on an expedition to the North Pole and recorded in his journal being taken inside the Earth by humanoid beings with advanced technology. Now before you start straightening your tinfoil hat, I only mention him in the context that there are LDS who believe his experience reveals where the 10 tribes were taken. The problem with this theory is there's nothing at the North Pole, at least, there is no land mapped there. I'm not saying his story didn't happen necessarily or that he didn't encounter the Lost 10 Tribes. In fact, I love the many outlandish theories of the Lost 10 Tribes, even the theories that say they were taken by UFOs. It's fun to speculate. However, what if North is South? And more importantly, South is North. Let's take a look at the awesome scriptures that speak of the 10 tribes in the North. D&C 133:26 And they who are in the North countries shall come in remembrance before the Lord, and their prophets shall hear his voice, and shall no longer stay themselves, and they shall smite the rocks, and the ice shall flow down at their presence. 27 And an highway shall be cast up in the midst of the great deep. 28 Their enemies shall become a prey unto them. 29 And in the barren deserts there shall come forth pools of living water, and the parched ground shall no longer be a thirsty land. 30 And they shall bring forth their rich treasures unto the children of Ephraim, my servants. 31 And the boundaries of the everlasting hills shall tremble at their presence. 32 And there shall they fall down and be crowned with glory, even in Zion, by the hands of the servants of the Lord, even the children of Ephraim. Wow, this is one of my favorite end times prophecies. It all sounds so spectacular. There are several important features to this prophecies. First, the 10 tribes are in the North countries. This is the part of the prophecy that seems to indicate lands that have countries, plural. However, according to Merriam-Webster, countries can just mean expanses of land. If this is the meaning of the word, then the Lost 10 Tribes are possibly somewhere vast. Could this be Antarctica if North were South and South North in God's eyes? Antarctica is roughly the size of Mexico and the USA combined. So, the prophets in these expanses of land are staying themselves until, well, they no longer stay themselves. To me, this means there are prophets, plural, among the 10 tribes and they are staying hidden. Could there be 12 disciples similar to how there were 12 disciples in the Americas at the same time the original 12 were in the Holy Land? Next, they smite the rocks. So, if the North Pole has no land, then there are no rocks to smite. I guess if Admiral Byrd was taken into the Earth, there could be rocks there. The prophets inside the Earth smite the rocks? Maybe. Next, ice flows down at their presence. This narrows it down whether we are speaking of North or reverse North, South, wherever they are, there is ice. Moreover, there shall be a great highway cast up in the midst of the great deep. This indicates they are on a land, rocks, apart from other lands and that a highway connects them to where Ephraim is, North America, who then crowns them with glory upon receiving them. Though there certainly could be a highway cast up from the great deep from Alaska to the mainland USA. This more than likely means that the Lost 10 Tribes are on a continent apart from North America. As for the ice flowing down at their presence, is there any indication of this happening now? Well, there has been ice breaking apart on both poles, but there has been a lot of coverage recently of a gigantic hole appearing in Antarctica. The ice shall flow down at their presence. There are several more important aspects. Enemies shall become a prey unto them. More on this in a moment. In barren deserts there shall come forth pools of living water, and the parched ground shall no longer be a thirsty land. Huh? Are we talking about the North countries still? Maybe. Let's look at a parallel prophecy in Isaiah. Isaiah 35:1 The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice, and blossom as the rose. 6 Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. 7 And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, in the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. 8 And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness, The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. The prophecies of the desert most likely means there will be other earth changes happening at the time. Could a global event cause deserts to blossom, ice to flow down, and highways to be cast up in the midst of the great deep all around the same time? Could this be a pole shift or reversal that causes this? An alternate way at looking at the desert aspect of this prophecy actually points right back to the driest, most parched land on Earth, Antarctica. From an article on Universitytoday.com. The driest place on Earth is in Antarctica in an area called the Dry Valleys, which have seen no rain for nearly 2 million years. In DNC 133 hours 30 minutes, the 10 tribes also bring their rich treasures to Ephraim. The boundaries of the everlasting hills tremble at their presence. So what if this place they come from is Antarctica? The 10 tribes are lost and hidden. What if part of their concealment is the lost knowledge that the poles are upside down now? What if the flood occurred due to a pole or reversal? Let's return to the enemy's portion of DNC 133 hours 28 minutes. Who are the enemies of the 10 tribes? Certainly there could be enemies among them now. However, is there anything going on now that could add some weight to this theory that south is actually north? Straighten that tinfoil hat again. There have been many news stories of global elite heading to Antarctica. This is certainly odd. Antarctica is not a welcoming vacationing hotspot, to say the least. So why are so many of them visiting this frozen wasteland? As I researched this article, I could hardly type the word Antarctica into YouTube without being hit with a myriad of UFO, Flat Earth, and Book of Enoch videos. I ignored the Flat Earth videos altogether, watched some of the UFO videos, and, of course, the Book of Enoch videos piqued my interest. Some videos were less credible than others, and several videos point to photos and video that have supposedly been uncovered from the U.S. Army showing pyramids and ruins in Antarctica. Again, some videos are less convincing, and the footage could certainly be fabricated. However, if a lost civilization has actually been discovered, then of course there would be groups jumping to this fantastic evidence to support their fantastic ideas of UFOs, Flat Earth, and fallen angels. Some of this could even be disinformation to shame the masses away from taking a closer look at why all of the sudden interest in Antarctica by the global elite. Here are some of the pictures of alleged ruins in Antarctica. Here is a YouTube video showing this supposed leaked footage. The footage looked a little fakey to me, especially the first and last scenes where the pyramids and structure look a little fuzzy, like bad special effects fuzzy. However, there is a Google Earth image to corroborate pyramids in Antarctica. So, could Antarctica be a possible location of the lost 10 tribes should north, given the reasons listed above? Now, keep that tinfoil hat seated firmly as we discuss east and west. Part 4: East is West. To reiterate the premise of this article, the telestial state of the world is one of backwards, inverse order from that of the true order of existence and living. Earth is in a temporal state. Could all four directions be backwards to indicate the backwards and upside down existence we are in? After all, we come down here to live in telestial muck to experience the bitter so we may know the sweet. So what evidences do we have that east is west? First of all, let's look at Pangaea. We know the world was once one land mass. According to Genesis 10:25, the lands may have been in the generations that followed Noah after the flood. Genesis 10:25, and unto Eber were born two sons, the name of one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. Could the flood have been a triggering event? The recent myriad of tropical storms and hurricanes may have been triggered by solar winds and CMEs. Could these celestial particles that bombard the Earth's geomagnetic field today have had a similar effect on the Earth at the time of the flood? Could the poles have shifted or reversed then and caused storms far greater than anything we've ever seen? With magnetism going haywire, could this magnetism have pulled on the Earth's plates and fault lines, causing water to come forth out of the Earth? If so, the sudden influx of water could have gone straight to the atmosphere, causing 40 days of rain, in my extremely lay person opinion. Additionally, Though mainstream scientists have said there is no relationship between solar flares and earthquakes, there are those who believe that there is causative, correlative evidence that solar activity also affects earthquakes. To me, this is a no-brainer. Geomagnetism. Earthquakes. If the sun affects our geomagnetic field, then it certainly affects earthquakes. So, if solar activity can affect the tectonic plates to move, can a pole reversal cause the plates to move continents? Could a geomagnetic catastrophic event that caused the flood also set in motion the land so that they divide and resettle according to the Earth's new spin and magnetic field? Regardless, we know that the land will be united again. DNC 133 hours 24 minutes, and the land of Jerusalem and the land of Zion shall be turned back into their own place, and the earth shall be like as it was in the days before it was divided. Imagine an earth that has two land arrangements, one when Antarctica is north and one when Antarctica is south. If Antarctica began as the North Pole when the land was united, then a polar reversal pushed the continents apart. Could another polar reversal then pull them back to their original positions? Here is a map that shows how the continents fit together like puzzle pieces. Keep in mind that South America and Mexico have been altered tremendously to fill in that gap in the Gulf of Mexico, where the city of Enoch may have been. We know that the Garden of Eden was in Jackson County, Missouri. Brigham Young stated, "Joseph the prophet told me that the Garden of Eden was in Jackson County, Missouri." Journal of Wilford Woodruff, Volume 5, March 15, 1857, Archives Division, Church Historical Department, Salt Lake City, Heber C. Kimball said, "From the Lord, Joseph learned that Adam had dwelt on the land of America, and that the Garden of Eden was located where Jackson County now is." Andrew Jensen, Historical Record, 9 vols, Salt Lake City, Andrew Jensen, 1888, 7-439. See also Orson F. Whitney, Life of Heber C. Kimball, Salt Lake City, Bookcraft, 1967, p. 219. Now if we invert the map, pardon the upside-down names, and flip it horizontally, we can clearly see that Garden of Eden is in the east. You can also see that Antarctica is north, though looking at this map also adds more possibilities to the north countries from DNC 133. So without further ado, here are the scriptures that state that Eden is eastward. Moses 3-8, "And I, the Lord God, planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there I put the man whom I had formed." Here is another modern-day revelation with the same phrase, eastward in Eden. Abraham 5-8, "And the gods planted a garden, eastward in Eden, and there they put the man, whose spirit they had put into the body which they had formed." Now eastward in Eden could mean one of two things. This could mean the garden was planted on the east side of Eden, or Eden itself is eastward. Eastward means in an easterly direction. So it makes less sense to use a word if we are describing an easterly direction within Eden as it does to describe Eden itself is in a easterly direction in the world. Eastward also means toward the east, so this adds even further weight to the meaning of Eden being toward the east, as it makes much less sense to say a garden planted toward the east in Eden. You would just say east in or east within. There is another contextual clue. In writing, when a place is first introduced, the author gives adjectives about that place itself. In both Moses and Abraham, these verses are the first times Eden is mentioned, so the context of the first mentioning gives further evidence that eastward is describing the location of the larger place Eden, of which the garden is a subset. So this certainly isn't solid evidence that east and west have reversed at some point. However, this is an interesting line of thinking when considering the following scripture from JST Matthew 24. JST Matthew 24:26, "For as the light of the morning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, and covereth the whole earth, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." What if this scripture isn't just an analogy but is prophesying an event that relates to how the light shines from the east to the west? If the earth started rotating in the opposite direction, then the sun would rise in the Pacific Ocean and set in the Atlantic Ocean for those of us here in the United States of America. Before you discard this thought, imagine for a second that some global event, be it a polar reversal or an asteroid collision, causes the earth to rotate in the opposite direction, suddenly this scripture would make a lot of sense. Speaking of asteroid collisions, let's take a closer look at other scriptures that may be indicative of polar reversals and planetary collisions. Part 5: Polar Reversals and Planetary Collisions. So now let's take a look at how the directions east and west may have changed. After a little research on the topic, I found this potential explanation from Penn State astrophysicist Kevin Luhmann. The only real way the Earth could start spinning in the other direction would be if there were a massive collision, such as with another planet. That event itself would be disastrous, Luhmann says. Are there any indications in the scriptures of an event of this magnitude? Revelation 8:10: And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of waters. 11 And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters, because they were made bitter. 12 And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. A very viable interpretation of this prophecy is nuclear war. However, what if Wormwood is a star, a celestial object, like the scripture indicates? Notice how John says the star, singular, falls upon the third part of rivers and the fountains of waters, and the third part of the waters became bitter. If an asteroid, or other celestial object, collided with the Earth and was large enough to affect a third part of the waters, then could that be large enough to change the Earth's rotation? Moreover, wouldn't such an event kick up so much debris into the atmosphere that the days would be shortened and be dimmer? Wouldn't the night's lights also be dimmer? There was a recent event that may have been a foreshadowing of such an anomaly when Hurricane Ophelia caused the skies of Great Britain to be darkened during the day, causing the sun to become an eerie red. Here is a picture of the event. Could this event in Great Britain and the events of Wormwood in Revelation 8 all tie into this prophecy by the Lord Himself? JST Matthew 24:33: And immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. The sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light sounds very much like Revelation 8 above. Also, the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Would an asteroid, celestial object impact cause the heavens to shake? The debris caused by an event could certainly cause many shooting stars to fulfill the stars shall fall from heaven. Let's take a look at another prophecy about the heavens. DNC 49:23: Wherefore, be not deceived, but continue in steadfastness, looking forth for the heavens to be shaken, and the earth to tremble and to reel to and fro as a drunken man, and for the valleys to be exalted, and for the mountains to be made low, and for the rough places to become smooth, and all this when the angel shall sound his trumpet. Could DNC 49:23 indicate a celestial impact or some event that causes poles to reverse and the rotation to change? Let's take a look at a similar scripture that adds even more weight to this line of thinking. Isaiah 24:19: The earth is utterly broken down, the earth is clean dissolved, the earth is moved exceedingly. 20 The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall, and not rise again. The earth is moved, exceedingly. Granted, there could be some translation shenanigans going on here, but even the Isaiah Institute's translation indicates that there is some powerful earth motion happening. Isaiah 24:19: The earth shall be crushed and rent, the earth shall break up and cave in, the earth shall convulse and lurch. There are many end times prophecies that mention earthquakes, even a great earthquake. Revelation 16:18: And there were voices, and thunders, and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake, and so great. Either a polar reversal or a celestial impact could explain such an earthquake. Here is yet another scripture in Doctrine and Covenants that refers to the earth reeling to and fro as a drunken man. D and C colon 88 colon 87 for not many days hence and the earth shall tremble and reel to and fro as a drunken man, and the sun shall hide his face, and shall refuse to give light, and the moon shall be bathed in blood, and the stars shall become exceedingly angry, and shall cast themselves down as a fig that falleth from off a fig tree. What if a celestial impact caused a polar reversal? Certainly if we are on the brink of a reversal as scientists say, then something that upsets the geomagnetic field could cause the field to flip and the poles to reverse. Could a celestial impact and a polar reversal cause such earth changes as to cause the earth to spin differently? Could this new spinning cause the earth to rebalance itself, causing mountains to rise and valleys to be made from existing mountains, CD and C 49 hours 23 minutes above? Conclusion. So now that we've dug into the possibilities of what, when, and how, let's revisit the why. Why would the lands divide in the days of plague and why will they unite again? If the earth is upside down and spinning backwards, which then causes the lands to divide, all of these events would symbolize the telestial condition of the world, backwards, upside down, divided. The final days before the millennium prophesy of the final judgment of the wicked, a period of cleansing where the earth's lands will unite again, and the people who remain on earth will be united themselves. D and C 45 hours 59 minutes for the Lord shall be in their midst, and his glory shall be upon them, and he will be their king and their lawgiver. The earth's current telestial state is neither the state in which it was created nor the state of its final destiny. D and C 130-9 This earth, in its sanctified and immortal state, will be made like unto crystal and will be Urim and Thummim to the inhabitants who dwell thereon, whereby all things pertaining to an inferior kingdom, or all kingdoms of a lower order, will be manifest to those who dwell on it, and this earth will be Christ's. So would not upside down poles and an earth spinning backwards symbolize this upside down existence in which we live now? Is there any evidence that there was an earlier, similar event that caused the upside down condition in which we find ourselves? Hebrews 12:26 Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Yet once more will the Lord shake the earth and the heaven. If a same or similar event that caused the flood also causes these end times calamities, then this may shed new light on Revelation 12 and even the covenant of the rainbow. JSD Revelation 12:15 And the serpent casteth out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. 16 And the earth helpeth the woman, and the earth openeth her mouth, and swalloweth up the flood which the dragon casteth out of his mouth. Interestingly enough, Joseph Smith changed the tense of the words underlined above from past tense to present tense. Many believe these verses speak of the flood that happened. But could the covenant of the rainbow indicate that the Lord will use the same mechanism at the time of the flood that he will use in the last days, be it a pole shift, reversal, or otherwise, only this time he promises the flood will not cover the earth. This time, the earth swallows up the water that the dragon casts out of his mouth. That would add so much clarity to the sign and covenant of the rainbow. God using the same mechanism at both judgments of the wicked, suddenly the promise makes much more sense. He would essentially be saying, I will once more cause the heavens and earth to shake by the same power, yet this time there will be no flood. I promise. Here's a rainbow to symbolize this promise to all levels of mankind and even symbolizes the inverse order of telestial and celestial worlds. Then this powerful event, or events, would not only be one of judgment but of course correction, setting the earth straight, its directions, orientation, and rotation. This could be why we have so many earth-changing events at the last days. Their purpose is to turn the earth right side up. Smile. The why behind not only symbols but important events and people help build a clearer understanding of the end times events. When we study these prophecies, we should always be pondering why these things happen, as the answers to this important question can help provide a much deeper understanding of God's mysteries. For further reading, please read the article Levels, Numbers, Orders, and Symbols that explores the symbolism of the flood and the division of the dispensations between two promised lands. If you are new to this blog, the best place to start is at the beginning, The Seven Levels of Mankind.